I have two books at my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snake shock! I hate them! And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And coming to you almost live from a top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, this is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am not live with you today. This is the talk show Hell Hates. And I'm going to explain this. Last week I did this. I pre-recorded the show and let it out. And today, it's basically the same thing. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you the reason why. I've been very open and honest about this, that, I do suffer from periods of depression and anxiety. I am currently on a medication for that, and it does help on most days and in most instances, but I also know that the devil loves to take advantage of our weaknesses, not our strengths. The devil never attacks with our strengths. I give you for an instance. I am not a drinker, an alcohol drinker, never have been. To my current knowledge, I never will be. And the devil knows this. I can walk through the liquor aisle all day long. I could probably go into a bar and sit down with somebody and order a Diet or Coke Zero. Or Diet Dr. Pepper, which is my current nectar now. Or a Gold Peak tea, unsweet tea. And alcohol is not one of my weaknesses. So the devil doesn't attack me there. He doesn't try to tempt me with beer, wine, whiskey, whatever. That's not it. So he will go after my weaknesses. There have been times when I'll get ready to start broadcasting, and I mean, whoom, devils will just jump all over me, and the anxiety just hits. And when it does, there ain't a thing I can say. And that will show up as a technical difficulty, because technically I'm having difficulties even talking, even thinking. And so today's one of those days. So what I know I can do is pre-record the broadcast. And that way, let's say an anxiety thing hits, and all of a sudden now I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. I don't know nothing that's going on. I can stop the recording, kind of get myself back in gear, prayer, Bible reading, you know, get up and go for a little walk, come back, sit down when I'm a little bit calm and start and go again, and then stitch it back together in the post editing. And you may not ever see the evidence that that happened. And the ulterior to that is to let the devil win, and I don't do a broadcast. And two things came in yesterday that are significantly important, and I'm saying highly, highly important, came in. Thank God to you watchers out there, because you know I'm not watching the news. You know I'm not. But some of you who can, and part of the reason, I'll be honest with you, is the anxiety. I can't take it. I can't take the news that I hate that's happening, or news that I know for a fact is a downright lie, or whatever. And some days I just can't take it. So I felt a lot better not watching news, but you guys have helped me greatly in being able to see things for me that I can't necessarily see. And this is going to be one of those things. Now, I'm going to start out today. Let me do this here. Let me add that to that. Hey, that looks pretty good. And I will go to that. Hey, that looks really good. And we'll get into this story here, because this is, to me, this just became very, very significant. NASA looks to the heavens for help. Dun, dun, dun. Agency enlisted 24 theologians. You know, while I'm reading this, I'm going to try to get my, see if I can get my sound effects. No, they're not connected up. I can't do it. I need a new mixer board. I'm going to have to get a new mixer board. Anyway, NASA looks to the heavens for help. Agency enlisted 24 theologians to access how the world would react to the discovery of alien life on distant planets and how it might change our perception of, look at this, God's little g. Let me get a pen here. This needs to be highlighted, because this is exactly what I'm going to talk about. God's and creation to change our perception of them. They're going to go to the preachers, to the theologians. They're going to ask them to help convince us that these stars that are falling down from the sky are actually our friends, our neighbors, our brothers. Welcome them in. Absolutely nuts. The story says NASA is looking to the heavens for help with assessing how humans will react if alien life is found on other planets, and how the discovery could impact our ideas of gods. There it is again. Gods, not God. Not God. Gods and creation. Pay attention to the wording of this story and ask yourself the question. They know. These people know. The three largest religions in the world are monotheistic. Christianity and all its various forms, good and bad, Judaism, and Islam. That covers a huge majority of the people of this world is either going to claim to be some form of monotheistic Christian, a monotheistic Jew, or a monotheistic Muslim. Whereas you have the Chinese, the Buddhists, who have other gods, the Shinto, who have other gods, the Jain religions, who have other gods, and the Hindu religion, who have 330 million, you know, a third of the angelic realm. They worship as gods. They're not the ones who are going to have a problem with all these gods coming down. That would just be like their heyday. They will wet themselves if they see their gods coming down. They will. They'll be going, "Oh, this is it. We were right all the time." And I could throw in there the Jehovah's Witness. The Jehovah's Witness would say, "That's the 144,000 coming down here." I could throw in there the Mormons. The Mormons believe that every Mormon becomes a god. Multiple gods. And I don't know, I can't think of exactly what it would be in Mormon theology where multiple gods would be coming down. Maybe they're thinking that's the holy angels of God coming down to gather together all of the good Mormons who, you know, are married to a Mormon wife, or several of them, and yet, you know, a lot of them are pedophiles or queers or anything else, drunkards, anything else. Listen, people, don't be fooled by the outward appearance of Mormons or anybody else on how religious they look on the outside. They are sinners just like everybody else. But I guarantee you there's something about Mormonism that when these things start coming down, they're going, "Oh, yeah, that's us. That's our guys. Come on down, guys." So really, this is about focusing in on weak, invalid, so-called Christians. That's who we're targeting here. They use these theologians to get them to change mainstream Christianity. You know, contemporary Christian rock music Christianity. You know, Joel Osteen Christianity. Or Todd Bentley Christianity. Or purpose-driven life Christianity, that kind of, or any other kind of Christianity. The Catholic Church may look at this and say, "These are the holy saints that we pray to, coming down with Jesus to save our planet." Any number of things they could come at. And Christian Orthodox would be the same thing. Eastern Orthodox would be the same thing as well. So the article said the agency hired 24 theologians to take part in its program at the Center for Theological Inquiry, CTI, at Princeton University. Now, I will, let me just, as a disclaimer, let you know right now that I turned this opportunity down. I'm sure that they sent me an invitation. I'm almost positive they sent me an invitation. But I'm already turning it down. When it gets in here in the mail, I'm just going to say thank you, but no thank you. Okay? I'm just, so you'll know whose side I'm on. I'm not turning my back on you guys. The agency hired 24 theologians to take part in its program at the Center for Theological Inquiry at Princeton University in Jersey, which NASA gave a $1.1 million grant to in 24. Imagine that, getting $1,100,000. Imagine that. What a toy to play with. Shoot. If they gave me $1.1 million, I'd feed all of Turkana with it. Guarantee you. CTI is described as building bridges. Bridges. Of under, and I said britches. CTI is describing as building bridges of understanding by convening theologians, scientists, and scholars and policymakers. And let me put on notice the theologians, the scientists, the scholars, and the policymakers. Let me put you on notice right now. The good Christians, we didn't get our doctrine from you ever before. And we're not going to start getting our doctrine from you now. Now, I can't speak for the untold thousands of so-called Christians who do get their doctrine from social media, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, you name it, you get your doctrine, which includes your outlook on eschatology, which is studying prophecy, studying future events. You are getting, and this is your pastor or a pastor trying to tell you in love, that you are getting your doctrinal ideas and your eschatological ideas, your ideas of everything prophetic, from the rapture, the second coming, the millennial kingdom, the mark of the beast. You're getting it all from the wrong places. Because the real Christians get their beliefs from the Bible. We weren't listening to you guys before, and we're not going to start now. So you can hire all of these guys you want to think together and inform public thinking on global concerns. I hate this chair. Every now and then it decides to just start falling down to the floor. Now, the program, which started in 2016, aimed to answer questions that have baffled us since the beginning of time. Whoever wrote this and edited it was an idiot. Since the beginning of time. Please, God, give us time. Such as, what is life? What does it mean to be alive? Where do we draw the line between human and alien? Oh, good grief! There, God already drew a line about what is human and alien. It's called the Kármán line. And it's the edge of the atmosphere of this planet. Neil Armstrong found it. Well, he didn't discover it, but he found it one day in a model test plane that had rockets on the wings and had a jet on the back. And he flew to the edge of the atmosphere, got above the Kármán line, and now he's no longer a pilot. He is an astronaut. And his ship is no longer an aeroplane because there's no aero to plane it. His ship is now a spaceship. And he wants to come back down into the atmosphere. And when he uses his thrusters and his rockets to go back down, he simply bounced off the atmosphere. Boing. And he tried it a couple times. Boing, it bounced him back. It was a hard, it's a firmament, just like God said. A hard surface, boing. So being the, Neil Armstrong was very, very smart guy. He realized that he's trying to put a flat surface. It's like trying to use a butter knife sideways, using the flat edge to cut butter. It won't work. So he turned the plane sideways like this. Used his rockets to, like a knife, to cut himself into the atmosphere. And now he's got a plane back that he can control with air. Genius guy. That's where, if you're born below that line, you're from here. If you're born above that line, and it may be possible. It may be possible. We don't know everything that goes on in space. Between the Russians, the Americans, and who else? And you got men and women locked up for a year on the space station. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that they don't touch each other up there? Is it possible a child secretly could have been born up there? It is not outside the realm of possibility. Anyway, what does it mean to be alive? Where do we draw the line between human and alien? What are the possibilities for sentient life in other places? Now that NASA has two rovers, woof, woof, on Mars, several probes orbiting Jupiter and Saturn, and is set to launch the James Webb Telescope tomorrow that study galaxy, star, and planet formation in the universe, it seems that the agency is hopeful it is on the right path to discovering life outside of Earth. And it needs a little help from above to help those of us living below to understand if that happens. NASA held the program titled Societal Implications of Astrobiology, which started in 2015 and ran to 2018. The Reverend Dr. Andrew Davison. Amen. A priest and a theologian. That sounds like the beginning of a joke. At the University of Cambridge, with a doctorate in biochemistry from Oxford, was among 24 theologians who participated in Societal Implications of Astrobiology, the Times reports. Religious traditions would be an important feature on how humanity would work through any such confirmation of life elsewhere. And see, what they're making this sound like to be, I'll go ahead and tell you the gist of this. They're saying, what if when the James Webb Telescope is supposed to be launched, I think it already has, and it's supposed to actually, for the first time, be able to show us planets. It's that good. Not just planets in this solar system, planets in other star systems. So what if we find a planet and we can see clouds and water and land on it and different colors on it that would tell us that there's life on another planet. See, that's what they're saying. They're not talking about gray aliens and Nordics and Draconian Drago aliens. They're not talking about that. On the surface. But that's what lies underneath. Lies underneath. Is that they're talking about what if we discover a planet with the Webb telescope and we can see clearly on it that there are signs of life on it. We need the theologians to help Christians overcome their love of the truth from the Word of God and just believe what the scientists tell you. Not going to happen. Because we weren't listening to you when we read Genesis 1. And we're not going to listen to you when we read Daniel 2, Matthew 24. The stars shall fall from heaven. Revelation 6. The stars shall fall from heaven. Revelation 13, the stars shall fall, withdraw their light and fall from heaven. Revelation 12, the stars shall fall from heaven. We're not going to believe you. Now you can, again, you can go after all the fake phony Christians. And my friends and my brothers and my sisters, there is a great big lie that's going to be told. A huge one. And I absolutely believe it has everything to do with the identity of these angels, what they're here for, and what they plan on doing. Remember what Paul said. Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel. So I'm pretty sure Paul is saying, get ready because an angel from heaven is going to bring you another gospel. I mean, after all, that's where Joe Smith and Ellen White took their cues from. Let's see, how can I start a new religion? I know, I can say an angel came and showed me these golden plates. Yep, that's what I'll do. Ellen White, how can I convince people that I'm right about Sabbath keeping and everything else, you're all going to hell. I know, I can have an angel take me to heaven and show me things that all the other Christians can't see. And they can't read it in their Bible either because it's not in there. I got it specially from heaven, from God itself. I got it from God himself. And hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, including a bunch of people in Kenya that I'm ticked off at. Because the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a huge stronghold in Kenya. And they are lying through their teeth to those people about who Jesus is and what salvation really is. They have no concept of it whatsoever. That's who this committee's for. It's not for us. In 2008, Vatican's chief astronomer says there's no conflict between believing in God and the possibility of extraterrestrial brothers. Look at that. Now they're our brothers, perhaps more evolved than humans. In my opinion, this possibility of life on other planets exists, and Reverend Jose Gabriel Funes, a 45-year-old Jesuit priest, there's your clue, who is head of the Vatican Observatory and is, you know, the Lucifer, the Vatican, my chair is falling again. Head of the Vatican Observatory and the Lucifer Telescope, scientific advisor to Pope Benedict. How can we exclude that life has developed elsewhere, he told the Vatican. Because life doesn't develop, you dope. Life is created. Life is given. But life doesn't develop. You figure a guy head of the Vatican Observatory, a PhD, would be smart enough to figure that out, but they're not. That's why I say you can be the smartest person in the room, but if you don't believe the Bible, the guy who does believe Genesis 1 exactly as it's written is the wisest man in the room. Not the PhD from the Vatican Observatory. How can we exclude that life has developed elsewhere, he told. Explaining that the large number of galaxies with their own planets made this possible. Asked if he was referring to being similar to humans or even more evolved than humans, he said, certainly, in a universe this big, you can't exclude this hypothesis. In other words, more evolved means gods. Beings with powers that we don't have, like principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Albert Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said in 2008, when asked if there are such things as aliens, he said the answer is no, that's speculative. We have no reason to believe there's any other story out there. There's nothing in Scripture that says there can't be some form of life somewhere, but what we are told is that the cosmos was created in order that on this planet, Jesus Christ, in space and time and history, would come to save sinful humanity. He at least got that right. The James Webb telescope set to launch Christmas Day could, however, change the way we look at the universe and maybe what is written in scriptures of all religions. Change the way, change what is written in scriptures. Did you see that? Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now, do you know what that verse means? Number one, he said other gods, not another god. That's very important. Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. In other words, we haven't discovered them yet. They're on another planet. And let us serve them. God said, thou shalt not hearken. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And ye shall walk after all the Lord your God, after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. However, if you believe this, where it says maybe when the telescope is launched, we can change what is written in scriptures. You see, God knows which ones of you out there really believe in him and really believe in his word, and those of you who don't. God knows the difference. And so what God's going to do is that he's going to test this world. The test is going to be one of them, I believe. These gods ascending, angels of all kinds, familiar spirits, spirits looking like saints of old, pictures of saints, spirits looking like Indian gods, spirits looking like aliens, spirits looking like chariots, UFOs, spirits looking like all kinds of things. They're going to come down here, and you're going to believe in them and forsake God because you didn't read the Bible enough to be prepared for that event. What you're going to say is, well, I heard that God made only us, therefore it should only be us. But here it is, obviously right in front of us. They're standing there right in front of us. So apparently the Bible was a lie. No, the Bible's not a lie. It's just that you didn't bother to read nor believe it. You wanted to read and believe everything else on the internet except your Bible. And you've been doing this for years, and you've believed lie after lie after lie after lie on the internet. But that don't bother you. But to believe what the Bible says about what these things are, you just don't want to deal with it. You don't want to be called a kook, even though everybody that knows you goes, oh, that's a kook coming in. Yeah, everybody says that about you. I'm pretty sure. Down in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 11. This is what God says. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Look now, pay attention to what he says. You're not supposed to love your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your mother, your aunt, uncle, your cousin Albert, your cousin Judy, your second cousin Ellie Mae, your third cousin Gomer, You're not supposed to love them and believe them more than you love and believe Jesus Christ. And if you do, you're not fit to be his disciple. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, you're not even supposed to love your wife more than Jesus Christ. Or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. I'm telling you, the devil will use your own family against you. Your own family. Namely, the gods of the people which are round about. Verse 8, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him, and thine hand shall be first upon him to put him. Now, this was Israel's law. This is currently contradictory to American law. I am not in any way, in shape, or form espousing you or encouraging you to kill any or all of your relatives because they don't believe the Bible. This law was given to the people of Israel to judge themselves in the wilderness. Jesus now gives us two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. He does not tell us to kill our neighbor, our family members, or people on Facebook who we don't like something in their picture. And so we're going to call them out as blasphemers to God. My goodness, I took my boys to an amusement park in Florida. And no, we were not at Disney World. We were at Universal Studios. And I took a picture of them there. And I made the mistake of posting it online. And everybody, well, not everybody, people started lashing out at me as being a member of the Illuminati. Because me and my two boys and my wife went to an amusement park. There's no love. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. And you don't see my presence much on Facebook simply because of the Facebook judges. You know who I'm talking about. They have to nitpick and judge everything that you say and do. And I'm not going to live my life under everybody's scrutiny telling me how I should do every little thing in my life. Anyway, I gotta move on. God said, even if your family tells you to go worship these gods, don't do it. Then he said, down in the same chapter, verse 12, if thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, seed of Satan, the tares, the children of the wicked one, those who are disobedient to God, children of Belial are gone out from among you. You know what they were? They were part of us. You know what I've seen in this church in the last, how long have I been doing the Watchman broadcast? 2009? So in the last 12 years, there have been at least 4 families that I can name for you that moved all the way to Festus just to get in amongst my people and point out all of what everybody's doing wrong. I even had one man come to me and say, "Pastor, I'm having problems." I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I just can't convince the people in this church that they're not living right." And boy, I got mad. I bit my tongue, but I said, "Let me ask you a question. Who told you that was your job?" I said, "If it's anybody's job, it's mine." And I said, "I don't do it unless they ask me to." I got to move on, but in the past 12 years, I've had children of Belial move into this church to try to tear this church apart and destroy it. And it's almost worked a few times. And I can name you names of people to watch out for. You know what that guy told me? The guy that said, I just can't figure out how to tell everybody in your church you're not living right. You know what he told me? That they've been asked to leave 5 churches already. And this would have been their 6th. And a couple months later, I had to end up discharging him because he deliberately tried to accuse somebody else in my presence of something of wrongdoing, and it was a deliberate, clear lie, and I caught him in it. And his whole family was doing it. And I put him out. I said, "I'm not your pastor anymore." They went to another church in here in town 6 months later. The pastor called me. I know him, he's a good friend of mine. And he said, "Brother Mike, do you know such and such family?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm probably going to have church discipline on them." And I told him what had happened here, and he said, "Same thing here. They're going around spreading lies about me. They're spreading lies about people in the church. They think we're all wrong." I said, "Yep, that's them." I said, "The sooner you get them out, the better." And he did. He had church discipline on them and put them out. And I don't know where they are now. But the children of Belial are gone out from among us. Meaning that right now, among us, it's very possible that there are children of Belial. It's happened before. And have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city. In other words, they say, come go with us. Don't listen to anymore. Come go with us. We'll show you the truth. I've had that happen too. Let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire, make search, and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth in the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. It makes me wonder why he said the cattle too. Could it be that something's going on with cattle mutilations? Could it be that cattle are being taken, genetically altered in some way, or something done to them and returned alive, while we're focusing on the one that they set back down dead that has zero blood in it, no blood cells at all? Anywhere. And we don't know how they do that. Anyway, I got to move on. Now, this one. This is the big one. Paralyzed man with brain chip posts first direct thought tweet. I told you this was going to happen. I told it. Of course, we all saw it. You saw it. You don't need me to tell you this stuff. You were looking at it and sent me the articles years ago that at some point, the firewall that separates the electronic world from our brain, our soul, that will be breached. And they will get in. There's a verse. I want to show you this. Since I had said the word breach. Let's see here. It's in Isaiah. I think. Yeah, Isaiah 7. Look at this. Look at this. Because Syria, let's count. Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah. How many do we have? One, two, three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it. You know what vexing is? Commercials, neighbors, the president, the airlines, your job, constantly telling you, your doctor constantly telling you, you must be vaccinated. Now, you know me, I am not an anti-vaxxer per se. I've gotten my share of inoculations. About a dozen of them before I went to Kenya in 2011. And none of them caused me any harm. A dozen vaccinations in 2011, and none of them did any harm to me, people. But I don't like being lied to. I don't like them telling me this is a vaccination because it's not. It's a gene therapy, number one. Number two, when they give you this, now they're telling you you need the booster. Now they're telling you you need a second booster. And a lady just died of COVID who was vaxxed, boosted, and boosted. And she just died of COVID. So that's vexation. When they are constantly pounding you, pounding you, pounding you, pounding you, pounding you. Get vaxxed. Get the vaccination. You need the vaccination. Get the vaccination. That's vexation. But it's not. Let me tell you what that's not. It's not a commandment. A vexation is to poke at you and provoke you and prod you and push you long enough until you go do it. It's like a temptress. Some woman who sees you and doesn't like your wife, so she says, well, I'll just sleep with her husband. And then she starts working on her husband, getting him all worked up. And it may take months, it may take a year, but eventually she's going to be in bed with that guy, and she's going to get back at his wife. And she wouldn't have a problem in the world telling you she's vexing this guy. Or a bully pushing you. Come on. And pushing you again. And putting his chest up against you. Getting in your face and calling you all kinds of dirty names. And then calling your family all kinds of dirty names. And this, he's vexing you. He's not commanding you. He's not making you do anything. You have a choice to walk away. But the vexation's hard to overcome, isn't it? See, that's what vexation is. Lot was vexed by the deeds of the Sodomites. It was having its effect on him, and God called him just. He had justified Lot. He had forgiven Lot of all of his sins. And let us so we got three vexing it, and let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it. That's the plan. That's the plan. You want to know the plan? The plan is Isaiah 7, 5, and 6. That is the plan. Let's vex them because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the mark of the beast will never be a commandment. They will just simply seduce you into getting it, and you'll go get it. I guarantee you, if they would have put something in this COVID vaccine that turned everybody on, and that everybody would be available for everybody else that had been vaccinated, you'd have had a line 100 miles long. Right? They just don't know how to, they just don't know how to market this. You just tell them that you take the vaccine, what we've seen is a 90% increase in libido. We're sorry about this. Sorry, nothing. This is the story here. Paralyzed man with brain chip posts first direct thought tweet. A company that implants neural computer interfaces into the brain says a patient with a nervous system disease that left him motionless was able to share a post on social media by just thinking of it. 62-year-old man in Aussie, Australia, diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. We have a lady in our church that has that, and she's going to die from it. And you know what? When they come to her and say, we can put an implant in your brain so that you can start talking to people, I know her. She won't do it. A disease that causes paralysis is now able to communicate thoughts with others with no muscle activity involved. On Thursday, he published a post on social media using only direct thought. The company that enabled him to do so, Synchron, announced. Synchronize. It means the electronics worked with the brain so that whatever the brain wanted to say, the computer generated the saying. So I created this tweet just by thinking it. The tweet read, said to be posted by Philip O'Keefe to the account of Synchron CEO Thomas Oxley. The first direct thought tweet was created wirelessly from O'Keefe's brain, according to the company, following progressive paralysis. caused by ALS. The man had a brain-computer interface called Stentrode installed last year. The implant designed to enable patients to wirelessly control digital devices through thought was inserted via the jugular vein to avoid drilling into the skull. No need for keystrokes or voices. I created this tweet just by thinking it. Now I just think about where on the computer I want to click. I can email, bank, shop, and now message the world via Twitter, the company cited O'Keefe as saying or thinking. According to him, the astonishing system takes practice, just like learning to ride a bike, but once you're rolling, it becomes natural. You see it? The man, despite debilitating paralysis, is now able to engage in independent activities and reconnect with the world, Synchron claims, adding that it plans to further develop its brain-computer interface in an inhuman study in the U.S. next year. Now, Adolf Hitler tried to rule the world. What was his number one problem? The world did not want to be ruled by Adolf Hitler. The Empire of Japan wanted to rule China. They've been going after China for years before World War II. It's just that China did not want to be ruled by the Empire of Japan. By the way, down to the very man on the street in China, the Chinese hate the Japanese. Don't look for any get along treaty between those two nations anytime soon. I know you say, well, the Bible says the kings of the East are coming. To my knowledge, there's only one king in all of the Eastern nations, and that's the Emperor of Japan. They don't have a king in China. So I don't think it means that. I think it's another reference to spirits, principalities, powers, things like that. So, why couldn't Adolf Hitler rule over the Soviets? Why couldn't he just go into the Soviets and say, I want to take over your country and everybody do what I say? Because they said, we don't want to be Germans. We don't want to be Russians. We want to live in our country and do things our way. We don't need your German goons telling us what to do all the time. But that can change quickly. It can change if you hand over your free will to the computer. And this guy that's hooked up, I would say that right now, I don't think he's in any immediate danger. Because the only thing he can do is transmit data. He can't receive data, to my knowledge. But how long is that going to take now? Not very long. Now notice what the Bible says. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to the... Now every one of us knows that we're not like-minded about 80% of the things that we believe about the Bible. We're like-minded in that we believe the King James is the Word of God. Even though some of you may not believe that. But I don't really have any control over that. If God doesn't say to you, let there be light, there would just be no light. That's just all there is to it. That's what God did with me, and that's what I think has to happen. God has to open your eyes, whether it's done by a preacher or God just dealing with you one day through the pages of the scriptures, somehow, some way, God brings you to the surrender point. You surrender and you say, you know what? I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe it has no mistakes in it whatsoever. And I'll die believing that. I'll put my life and my soul into this book. So, but we can. They were like-minded one toward another, according to Jesus Christ, verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's hard to get people like-minded. But it can happen on a few occasions where everybody agrees to the same thing. Like at a church vote or a board meeting vote, where everybody's in agreement, this is what we'll do. 2 Corinthians 13, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. The God of love and peace shall be with you. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. That's it right there. And the only way to have one spirit is to have one Bible. One Bible. It's the only way. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So with my brothers, with my true brothers in Christ, whether it's pastor friends I have or a lot of you, I really ask that you never call here wanting to argue about something with me. I don't do that. In fact, if I detect it, I will excuse myself from the phone very quickly, because I don't want to do that, and I refuse to do it. But one of these days, we're all going to have one mind and one mouth. Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, let's say, he said, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. Let's say in that church was a Seventh-day Adventist. Can they stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel? And the answer is no. Because Jehovah's Witnesses don't have the same gospel. They don't even have the same God or the same Savior. Because their Savior is not God in the flesh. Philippians 2, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, Acts 4:24, when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now, I liken the first two, three, four, five chapters of the book of Acts as like on Conception Day, when the human being is only one cell or two cells or four cells or 128 cells. It doesn't matter. All of those cells, 264 of them, or let's see, 128, 256, 256 cells that are still all exactly alike, aren't they? But after a while, when we get up into the thousands, some of those cells are going to start looking different, acting different, doing different things. Some of them may start pulsing like this. Those are heart cells. Some of them may be joined together trying to form a rudimentary lung. You see what I'm saying? Right here, in the early part, they were all with one accord. But as the church grew, naturally, because God was going to do different things with them and use them in different areas of the body, changes had to come. And this is why not every Christian agrees on everything. I had a young pastor, I know him, I love him, ask me this question. He said, how is it that, he said, I agree with you, Pastor, on how you see the last Trump rapture. But he said, the group I'm around, they not only don't see it that way, he said, they would probably throw me out of their fellowship if they found out that I didn't go along with it. And he said, how can I reconcile that with, I know these men are godly men, but I believe I am too. Pastor Mike, I believe you are. And I told him, look, son, I said, it's just like in a human body. At the beginning, all the cells are all alike, and they're all doing the same thing. But as that child starts growing and developing, those cells take on different shapes. Some of them start getting hardened. They're going to be bone cells. Some are going to be skin cells. Some are going to be fingernail cells. Some are going to be hair follicles. Some of them are going to be heart pieces, liver pieces, lung pieces. God has a different, since 2000, God has had a different meaning and a different way for practically all of his disciples, because he uses them in a different way. And I hope you understand that. I hope that blesses you. Don't think. It's childish. People on Facebook, it's childish to think that every Christian has to abide by your set of rules. It's unchristian-like. It's unbiblical. Acts 8, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So that was, Philip was doing something completely different than what Paul was. Philip's ministry was different than Paul. And Paul admired Philip for the work that he did. Paul admired him. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Here they are assembled again with one accord, one purpose, all going to go to heaven, going to try to bring as many people with us. Acts 7, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. You see, this, watch this now. This is where it gets on the devil's side. We know that on God's side, God's going to remake us. And instead of us carrying a Bible and reading a Bible, we're going to have every word of God in us, and we'll know it all automatically. We can quote it from front to back and do it again backwards. But this world is going to be ruled by different means, and they're all going to be of one accord and one mind by different means. And I believe that this heralds the beginning of it. Along with us celebrating Christ's birth, now the world, look up here. Now the world is celebrating the birth of the new man. The new man. That is the scary part. Because I promise you, you see, those of you who are boiling over, freaking out about the COVID vaccine, COVID vaccine is nothing compared to what's coming after this event. For the first time in the world, a man sent a message from his brain to a, not just to a phone, but to a Twitter account. And then finally, when the beast, in whatever form he comes, working along with artificial intelligence in whatever form it will be on that day, they will be able to take over all of mankind who are willingly going to subject themselves. I'll be honest with you. If I were lost, you wouldn't be able to stop me from getting one of these things. I'm just telling you how I think in my flesh. The idea to read anything I want to on the internet just by pulling it up in my mind and having it downloaded into my brain. I'm telling you, I would be the first one in line for this. But I know what it leads to. I know what it is. I know it's part of the mark of the beast system. No denial of that whatsoever. So, I got a bunch of verses here. Man, all about being in one accord and one mind. Let me get to the end of it here. Let's see here. Get to the end of it. See if I can go to... Oh, wrong way, Mike. There we go. Does it every time. I can't find the verse that I was looking for. But they're going to gather together. They are going to gather together as one man, because they will have one mind. One mind. This is what we would call the singularity. It's what Ray Kurzweil was looking at. On the day when mankind achieves this brain-to-computer contact, and once it's mastered, then we will be able to maybe extract a man's entire download of his life and his thoughts and hold him on a machine until we put him in a new body or something like that. I mean, who knows what the possibilities are. But folks, these are the days that we're living in, and these days are running short. And now we're in the day that I and others, and you saw it coming too. You knew it was going to happen, and now it's happening right in front of our very eyes. Now, the technology probably has a lot of bugs to work out of its system before it's ready for market. Government approvals have to be laid, FCC, this and that, the other. Government approvals. But you can understand now, a brain that can control a computer is a computer that can eventually control a brain. Don't fall for it. Think Bible. You'll be all right, I promise.